Hey, Thomas. Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Shiva.
Hi, Shiva. Does anybody have a question about the documents?
Is there anything in, this is Elisa Cooper, is there anything in the document that is not currently in another existing agreement?
Well, there are terms at the back. If you go to the last pages, other policies / specifications, it's on page 8. So there are a few consensus policies that impose separate requirements on registrars and registered name holders. And these are specifically required to be followed in the REA. They don't name the policies themselves, but the registrars are bound to follow any new ICANN policy or specification that
right.
arises. And
right.
so these aren't included in the agreement, but they are subsumed in the agreement because of the terms of the agreement.
Okay. But the document as a whole, so when I read through it, I didn't see anything in here that didn't already exist some other place.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right.
Hi, this is Evan. That may be correct, but bringing them together in this form is something that is badly needed and very welcome.
Yeah, no, I don't have any issue with that. I just want to make sure that I just understand everything that's in, basically everything that's in here. And I wanted to just call out if there was anything that was brand new that wasn't already part of consensus policy or other policy or the registrar accreditation agreement or anything like that. So,
this is McKaylee, just as a point of information, if anything extra does appear in this document, we have to remove it because this document is meant to sum up the rights and responsibilities as laid out in existing the existing contract and the existing policies. If anybody finds anything that isn't covered elsewhere, it needs to be red flagged immediately and revoked. If there's anything new in there, it can't be in here. Can't exist.
Well, if it's new, but it just is a new description for something that already exists. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that staying in.
Oh, God, no, of course not. No, sorry. No.
Cheryl here. I mean, it goes back to the differences between what the two work groups, A and B, are doing.
Exactly. The entire point of this work group is, based on the policies and contracts that the registrars have already agreed to, that a document is put together that summarizes what the registrars are obliged to do and what the registrants were obliged to do, and that interaction between the two parties. So, and if somebody wants to make additions, then they need to move it to the other working group, not this one, please.
Michaela, is the idea of the aspirational wish list, as it's called, is that within the scope of this group?
No.
But it's not within the scope of Group B either.
Yeah, it is. The aspiration, stuff that you'd like to see in the RAA is within the other work group. This work group is working on what has already been agreed.
Got it. Okay.
Just so we're clear. So so just to summarize, this work group is only to deal with what has already been agreed using the various consensus policies, contracts, etc., etc., etc. If there is anything that people would like to see as a new addition, a new idea, a new concept, or whatever, then it needs to be addressed in the other work group. Not here, please, because that is out of scope, and I will put my foot down and say, no, I won't allow it. If anybody has a problem with that, please let me know. But I'm still not going to change my mind. Has anybody else got any other comments at this juncture, rather? Okay. Could somebody from ICANN's staff please clarify just one thing? This document, from my understanding, in its final form, is something that the registrars will probably need to present to their registrants. Is that correct?
Well, within the REA, there is a requirement that the registrars, if there is a document such as this or using this language and moving forward with a different type of document, that the registrars, along with the registrants, agree to as a statement of registrant rights and responsibilities, the registrars would have to post it on their website.
Okay. So, in other words, this document in its final form, not the one that we're looking at now, is something that all registrants will be presented with, and it will be accessible via all registrars' websites.
Right. I'm not sure that there is a presentation requirement, but they do have to make it accessible to all registrants or anyone on their site.
Okay. Cheryl, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Michele. Sorry, was that Samantha responding
yes.
then?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Samantha. I'm not sure that we've met, and I have this brain that works in putting people's mental images next to them as I'm talking to them. So if I stumble to match names and faces in my head, that's why. The word accessible came into my mind as well, and one of the issues that from a good number of very important parts of the community of registrants that I think needs to be at least put on the agenda for consideration in this working group is the definition of that word accessibility. Certainly here in our CCTLD world in Australia, with a very active and quite professional group of accessibility issue lobbyists, we live in a very dotted eyed and cross-teed world of ensuring that accessibility in all senses of our definition is adhered to, and I would like to see that as perhaps something we pay attention to as well. Not necessarily in this meeting, but in the fullness of the activities.
Right, and I think, and David Gaze is on the call as well, and I think that that will be where a lot of the accessibility obligations are also looked at, because it would be his group that would really look to see at least at the physical point of posting a document on the website to make it accessible in that form, his group would evaluate whether or not the registrars are meeting their functions there.
It's more than, however, not being more than two clicks down and being in the UN languages. And so a clear and understood definition of what is expectations under the term accessibility might be worthwhile looking at. Even if it's
Ladies, before we digress too far.
I've stopped digressing, Michele.
No, I think it was helpful to have the clarification.
Don't worry, I don't disagree. Cheryl, do you have a definition somewhere in your files of accessibility that you could post to the working group mailing list?
I have two approaches to that. One is what UDA has agreed to and has operated under in its industry code of practice. And the second I can certainly gather for you is the idealised requirements that the current Disability and Accessibility Access Workgroup from ACAN, the Australia Communication Consumer Action Network, is currently arguing for.
Okay. In that case, what I would say is that rather than getting into that now, we'll wait for Cheryl.
If we're going to go down the pathway, I can get some backgrounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I don't have an issue, personally, I don't have an issue with putting that on the table. But I am conscious of we need to move forward as much as possible. Now,
like I said, not at this meeting.
Yeah, exactly. One thing that I read over the document And while I found it was fantastic to have it all in one document, I am not a qualified lawyer, solicitor, attorney, or any of those things. And I found, personally, that the document, while, trying to be diplomatic here, while helpful and a positive move in the right direction, I felt that my mother would have been scared to death if I presented her with it. That it wasn't, it would be very hard for a normal human being to actually read this document and actually understand it fully. Because, I mean, for example, some of the language, it's, those of us on this call are probably familiar with a lot of the terms that are used in this document, but the average registrant probably wouldn't be. Does anybody have any, does anybody disagree with me, agree with me, or otherwise? Thoughts? Cheryl?
My finger was on the, put my hand up. I think that can my grandmother read it or can my mother read it test is an incredibly important one to put on these documents. And you've heard terms, plain language, come out of my mouth so often, Michaela. It's probably why you talked to me. Samantha, you just as background, and I did come into the call as you were explaining the challenges of moving out of one mindset and how we write things into another. The net benefits we've seen within the telecommunication consumers' understanding of their rights and their responsibilities since we changed to a industry code, which for all telecommunications, so here I'm talking, you know, the hot stuff like mobile phones and mobile premium services and the whole lot, into plain language and single contracts. It was painful, yes, I admit, but it certainly has been worthwhile. So I think we perhaps can massage, that massaging reference earlier might need to be applied on some of that, and the good test is can my grandmother read it and understand it.
Okay. Does anybody have any other comments on that at the moment?
Well, the accessibility of the language certainly is something that, you know, I wouldn't have my parents read, but it's not the scope of this document to engage in an ICANN tutorial. One of the things that might be worthwhile in a preamble is to put up front an assumption that the reader has some knowledge about ICANN terminology and functions, and if they're not aware of it, it'd be a reasonable thing to point them to a suitable tutorial.
Okay, anybody else?
The glossary is always which is something that GNSO's glossary itself could be very useful with the new website work.
Right, but rather than creating a new one to point people
Absolutely.
To what already is there.
Hell yeah, don't make more work.
Okay, Paul has his hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Michaela. I agree with, if that was Evan just now, with what he's saying. Also out of fear, if we try to, I'm putting in quotations, dumb down the document to make it easy for our grandmothers to read, we run the real risk of mischaracterizing something that is already a contractual term. We're sort of between a rock and a hard place in this one, in that we're not lawyers and we're not trying to be lawyers, so we just need to tell it like it is. At the same time, it's often hard because the existing text was written by attorneys, and it's not necessarily the easiest thing to get through. So I totally agree that let's keep it more or less the way we have, include a preamble, and if there's tutorials or other places folks can go to get the sort of more plain versions, great. But let's be very careful about trying to condense the language and massage it in such a way so it's easier read, but then we run the real risk of mischaracterizing contractual terms and creating more problems.
Cheryl?
Thanks. Just in response to Paul there, again, one of the tools we've found quite successful in the space I work in within country is having things like guidelines too, which clearly delineate to to the more professional person involved, and I did have my fingers doing quotation marks there, because they can be professionally annoying people as well as professional lawyers and business people who like to nitpick on things and say, but, you know, subsection 943 of page 847 doesn't say that. And if you use terms that are clear, guideline to contractual relationship between A and B, so it's clearly for the average human consumption, it avoids some of those fears. Well, perhaps not the fears, but some of the negative outcomes that I think Paul was trying to avoid. And the main thing is that whatever is linked through a layered approach, if you're trying to ensure that end users and registrants have a clear understanding of what their responsibilities and rights are, is that those layers are properly linked and accurately linked to fully viable legal language and what the contracts say.
Konstantinos?
Yes, I totally agree. I mean, speaking as a lawyer, I think that we should really not change the language because we might find ourselves trapped in situations where registrants understand completely different things than we're trying to say. However, since this document constitutes a compilation of existing ICANN policies, possibly and where feasible, we could provide links. For example, when it comes to the UDRP, there is a very clear UDRP section within the ICANN website whereby registrants can refer to and they can understand. The same when it comes to the WHIS database. So we can possibly circumvent this gap that exists between the legal language and the non-legal language by providing as much information as we can from the existing ICANN policies, which are detailed enough for registrants to be able to understand.
Paul?
Yeah, thank you, Michele. These are all awesome ideas. Just a question, in particular for Charles. The guidelines that you make reference to, who drafts them? In our context? Would this be like the kind of group that we are right now, across industry, various levels of expertise? Is it something that we would punt back to ICANN?
If you want the exact experience from the Australian Telecommunications, which includes our domain name industry, those guidelines are put together by a small work group, which is equally balanced between industry and consumer interests. It's actually done under our regulator's mandate. Like, we didn't have a choice. The consumers complained and the government said, thou shalt. So I assume this is something we're preferring to avoid in this current landscape, to get it to be a mandate. So that's how those guidelines were done. That said, they were built upon existing documents put together by a couple of peak bodies for consumer actions and interests within country. So they were models for us to work off. And they were also built upon on some of the industry-developed market differentiators, where some of the bigger or more adventurous industry players who had chosen to work with consumers directly on this matter, but outside of the regulatory process, had started to put out very plain language, simple language things, and it was a matter of formalising those. So I'm sort of sidestepping your answer, not trying to prescribe how it might be done in a domain name industry sense in the GTLD space, but rather saying how it was done in the much larger landscape of telecommunications in Australia. And it may be the matter of another work group rather than this one.
Thank you, Michele. And Shell, you just took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to ask for the group for debate. Do we believe that our charter empowers our particular working group right now to do this, or, for what it's worth, as I would read it, we would make the recommendation, council would take it on board, and then a new work group, hopefully smaller, bringing together people with particular expertise, would do the crafting.
Big green tick up on next to my screen.
I'm definitely not going to disagree. David, any thoughts?
Generally, I would concur with all of the positive comments that we've heard today. clearly the document that Samantha produced is a a marvelous starting point, and with the additions on today's call, contractual compliance can use that document very effectively as we develop some protocols and some guidelines to actually help communicate this to registrars with the help of the registrar liaison team. So I'm very optimistic and enthusiastic about the document and looking forward to moving it along in this process.
Okay. Any other comments or thoughts? Ah, come on. Don't go all deathly silent on me.
I'm having my Vegemite on toast, Michaeli.
Beg your pardon?
I'm eating my Vegemite on toast. I've moved my speaker away, my mic away from my mouth. You don't want to hear me crunching my Vegemite on toast. I'm a good little Aussie. It's breakfast time.
What time of the morning is it over there, Cheryl?
About 5:30.
God. Okay. I'm sorry I asked. Okay, then. So just to summarize what we have kind of decided on. If we could add in links to the relevant sections on the main ICANN website where these policies are drawn from, we generally feel that will be a move in the right direction. Would that summarize to a point what people have been saying? Yes.
This is Samantha. Can I ask for clarification on that point? Would it be helpful to not just include links to the policies, but also include links to the specific terms that are being discussed, pinpoint the specific references from the REA, or does that go too far?
If I can jump in there, it's one of the layers that we found we had to add in, because it was both a protection mechanism to ensure that no one misinterprets or quotes as capital L law what isn't. And we also figured it was very little effort for a great deal of assurance that we have proper accuracy and integrity of the full flow of information from the sort of fluffy, plain language, have we got a deal for you, but this is what it means type stuff that you'll find in some purchase points, and right through to, how large the font has to be on television advertising, for what actually the contract says on some of these things. So the answer is yes for me.
Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Personally, to Michaeli speaking, personally I would find it helpful if at least the first time that a bit of jargon is introduced, that is linked to somewhere that explains what the hell it is. And in the first, that would, I think, personally would be helpful. I'd agree with Cheryl.
And this is Samantha again. One of the things that I need help with as I do this is I don't necessarily see jargon the same way that people who aren't working in the legal department with these contracts every day see jargon. So having pointers from you to tell me where the jargon is and where things could be linked to or what really would be helpful to point out would be a far more productive exercise for me than for me to sit there and look at it and try to figure out where to go.
Absolutely.
So, and that also goes with if there are places where it doesn't meet, would my grandmother understand this? If there are sections that maybe are still too legalese, if you can point those out to me, because I can't see them myself.
Okay. So, how would you like us to proceed with this? And how could we help you to identify? How would you like to approach it, I suppose, is what I'm trying to ask. How can we kind of identify those bits that might be problematic or that we think might should be worded more clearly?
The end product that would help me the most, and I'm not sure what the working group process could be to get there, but the end product that would help me the most would be to have one or possibly two separate documents, if necessary, highlighting terms or highlighting sections that are unclear, maybe with a comment explaining in what way it's unclear, having something unified like that, or having a list of terms presented to me, or I see people are posting potential places to source a glossary or something for terms. You know, any sort of resources that I could turn to, if those could be presented to me in a list so that I could put it back together in a preamble, those are the types of things that could help me.
Cheryl?
Thanks, Michaeli. I wrote there sounds like some work group homework. I think it's providing everyone in the work group agrees that that is within scope, and my personal view is, yes, that activity is in scope. I think that's a very worth next step for us to proceed to.
One thing I would remind you all of, the conversation I had earlier this afternoon with Bo and who was on that call earlier? Sorry, my
Heidi.
Brain is...
Heidi.
Sorry, Heidi.
She is not that forgettable, Michaeli. We are going to have to make you suffer for that.
Sorry, Heidi. It's nothing personal. I'm just, my brain has been fried all week. I do apologize, but I've been having a very bad... please don't be offended. We have a deadline. What was it? February 4th, I think it was.
Yes.
And it is now. What date is it today? What date is today? The 20th. 20th of January. So we're looking at basically about 2 weeks, give or take. So are we? We have to be realistic here in terms of what we can actually achieve. Cheryl, I know you're dying to say something.
My heavens, you've now gone from fried brain to psychic. I'm impressed. You've been reading too many Stephen King novels, I think that's the sense. What I was going to say is I don't think that's an unreasonable thing for one or two of us, and I would probably encourage it to be... those of us who are coming from the end user end of the spectrum in this work group to undertake that exercise, at least as a first pass between now and our next meeting, and which I'm assuming is going to be something like next week. I know that's probably jumping ahead in the agenda. And to that end...
It's okay. I mean, it's okay. You can hijack the meeting. Never mind.
No, thank you, darling. And to that end, I was going to say, I was trying to scroll through the draft document just to have a quick look and sort of do some highlights, and I can't actually do that. So, okay, someone else has to control that for me. One of the simple things I could do to help that process is providing they have the time in their agenda is ask the ACAN panel here in Australia to have a look at it with a view to, you know, is there much jargon that would need to go into a jargon-busting document? Because jargon-busting documents are something that organisation produces very, very regularly and that is used by both industry and consumer orgs as sort of reference points for these sorts of things. And maybe someone like Evan could put over another sort of different perspective view on it as well to highlight the other aspects, that, in other words, those that need a different approach to explanatory language rather than development of a glossary.
Evan, as you singled out?
I can certainly help. I I'm still a little bit fuzzy about the specifics of what this would be, but certainly the idea of going through, I don't know how much of a different perspective I would give, but I'm more than happy to help go through things and try my best, at least from my point of view, to try and make things accessible within the limits of what we've already discussed.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Evan. Thank you, Cheryl. Anybody else have any thoughts post this juncture? No? Okay. Okay, so could you, Evan and Cheryl, would you be able in a position to make some movement on that by next week, if we were having a meeting sometime next week? Or is that being unreasonable?
I can certainly ask.
I can make some time available. I guess maybe we can just figure out some time to put heads together.
Okay, perfect.
I mean, it's the term not extensive or simple enough? It's in no way. It's complementary, Samantha. It is not a 75-page document, is what I'm saying. It's accessible. It's 9/10 of the way there on my first scan. I mean, I've got it up in my Google Docs. I gave up trying to use the lack of control in the room this morning. And yes, I've only had one coffee, which might also affect what I'm able to do as well. But on a quick scan through, I'm picking up, you know, it would be a fairly easy job to do what I've undertaken on this document because of the quality of this document. So the short answer is yes, Mike.
Okay, cool. In terms of the next meeting, we would be sending out a famous, well, a doodle or a doddle or whatever it is to time.
Doddle. I haven't heard that before.
Michaela, can I jump in? Is there anything wrong in principle with having uniformity to meetings in date and time?
So what do you mean?
Well,
oh, sorry, also having them the same time, the same day and time.
Yeah, I mean, my diary probably, as you may well know, gets pretty booked up pretty fast, and if there's some level of conformity, you know, I now actually have part in my diary which is called Doodle, because the Doodle machine has to block out all of these potential cross-matching dates. That's bizarre. Can't we just meet on the X time of X day, if that's the day that suits the majority of the work group, and then it gets tweaked, you know? Next week, can we move it up an hour or down an hour or across a day or whatever? Sorry, just a personal plea.
Okay.
Which can be ignored.
Cheryl?
Yes, Heidi?
If I may, Michaela, we did try to have that. We always want uniformity, et cetera. But in 2 weeks, during this time slot, Michaela will be unavailable. He will be in Switzerland.
I don't have phones there. That's just tragic for Switzerland.
So we suggested a...
Thank you, Cheryl.
But also, you're the co-chair, darling. You're not the only chair.
No, oh, my God, you have overstepped the mark, my dear. You've overstepped the mark. As I actually said on the call I had earlier this afternoon with both Paul and Heidi, I said that please feel free to work north of the fact that I won't be around. I actually said that. I don't know if that call was recorded or not, but I'm sure Heidi might be.
Oh, look, I'll send you a virtual cuddle in, darling. Don't worry.
Anyway, and also to clarify, in two weeks' time, which is Wednesday the 3rd of February, apart from being 1 year older, I will also probably be somewhere between an airport and my house, possibly, which would render me totally incapable of actually joining any calls.
Well, another day and time that works then, when you aren't in transit.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm more than happy to say that, okay, that next week, for example, if we could have a meeting at the same time and everything, next week, I personally don't have any issue with that, because although it may come as a surprise to you, Cheryl,
really has got his brain fried this time.
I do have a reasonably packed agenda, because
I wasn't suggesting you don't. I'm suggesting that because you do, uniformity might be useful.
No, uniformity would help, definitely. If anybody has an issue with that, please do let us know.
Michaela, Cheryl here. Would it be an advantage to you to move it from the Wednesday time slot to the Thursday time slot?
Personally, yes, but that's just me. I obviously can't
speak for everyone. Well, providing no one in this work group is involved in the other PPSC work group, and I'm only an alternate for that one, same time, same place, different day, works perfectly in my diary.
Okay. I mean, that's for me, that will work fine. If anybody has an objection, please, as usual, speak up, or else I'll take your silence to mean that you agree.
And this is Samantha. I'm obviously not a member of the working group, but I am not available next Thursday if you'd like me to be part of the conversation. I am available on Wednesday, but on Thursday I have an all-day professional training that I have to attend.
This is Constantino. Thursday might also be difficult for me.
Okay, can I suggest then the next week we do Wednesday, and then maybe we can look at doing Thursday the following week, depending on people's availability? Would that be a compromise that would be acceptable?
Yes.
Cheryl?
Yep, fine. I was trying to be nice to you, Michaela. I can stop doing that. That's okay.
Cheryl, we've already discussed this thing about you being nice to me all the time. It's going to give both of us a bad reputation.
I am trying to ruin your reputation. Haven't you worked that out?
And it's working.
This is Gisela. If I can just get that in the diary for next week. So it's Wednesday,
yes,
the 27th, 1800 UTC, correct?
Correct.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Samantha again. I don't know how essential I'd be to a conversation of this, but I am actually not available next Wednesday at this time either. I have a board support issue that I cannot get away from.
Is there a later time slot on that day that would work for you then?
I'm available anytime before 10 a.m. Pacific time, and anytime after noon Pacific, between noon and 5.
Gisela, you've got fair access to the wonderful world of work groups and mm-hmm. diary challenges for most of the work groups, haven't you? Is that
the cover?
Just bear with me for 1 second.
Yep. Michaela, just so you know, I just gave Gisela access, read and write access to my personal Google Calendar, so it was much easier than trying to work out what was going to clash with whatever else. So. But later in that time work for you, Michaela, would you be actually not in transit later?
Later on the Wednesday, I won't be in transit, depending on the airport. But anyway, look, let's move on. Okay, next week is Wednesday.
Sometime.
Or Thursday next week, we can work something out.
Yep.
I don't want to waste everybody's time. Everybody pours over diaries now. I don't think that's particularly productive. Okay, then. So, moving on. What else did we have on the agenda? Where the hell is the agenda? God, my brain. I was doing so well for like 5 minutes.
So Kelly, this is Heidi again. That would be the second and final point on the agenda for today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're really tracking it very well, actually.
Yeah, actually, Heidi and I discussed this earlier. I managed to reduce the agenda from 3 points to 2, because I decided to move 1 point into the other one. So actually, yeah, I'm quite impressed with that. Okay, then, so, Cheryl and Evan, if you could try to do something to move this forward, that would be appreciated in terms of what you've agreed
yes.
to do, or been volunteered to do in your case, Evan.
Serves me right.
Oh, Evan, come on, you're used to it by now.
Evan, I'm getting used to it, so I can imagine you must be used to it, surely.
We'll leave it at that.
Does anybody have any other questions or matters they wish to raise at this point? No. Okay. I don't think we're going to achieve much more this evening. So do you mind if we just call it an evening then? Just cut it off now.
Excellent plan.
Is that okay for everybody?
Meeting's running shorter, an unexpected pleasure.
Actually, Michaela is very good at running meetings two time or less than. I'm always very impressed with Michaela's management of a meeting, and I'm know I'm ruining your reputation, but that was an actual compliment, not me being gnarly.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. Well, thank you, everybody, and if there's any issues with time and everything else, Gisela has put in the chat there that she will be emailing the list regarding timings for the 27th of January and the 4th of February, and that we provisionally have... Well, there's also an option to run the meeting according to... I presume that's the global calendar you're looking at, Gisela, at 1700 hours UTC. Was one thing that was mentioned. But we can thrash that out on the list. David, you're still on the call, are you?
Still here.
Are you reachable now, or are you disappearing?
No, you can reach me on my cell phone.
Perfect. Okay, if there's no other matters to be dealt with, I will wish you all a pleasant afternoon, evening, morning, or whatever time zone you're in, and I'll speak to you all next week.
Good enough.
Okay, very
thanks
good.
Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Kelly.
Thanks.
Thanks, Michaela. Bye-bye.
Bye. Kelly, thanks, Sam.